Good morning, podcast. Good morning, Mike. Good morning, computer. This is me, Brayden. I am here with my fellow master builders, Brian.
Hello.
And Seth.
Howdy.
And today, we are not going to be talking about the Lego movie, but we are going to be talking about Lego and why it's awesome.
Everything is in fact awesome,
Brayden. Everything is awesome. I love to talk about the history of Lego because it's so fascinating.
It really is.
About going from kind of a progression of a business, of starting something small as just a carpenter in a bad financial situation into the international company that it is today.
Yeah.
That is synonymous with creativity, I believe, as in childhood. Yeah.
And just a huge portion of the toy industry. Like, most of my childhood toy was Legos, so.
Yeah, so it all started, Lego started out from this guy that is losing business, and he's having to lay off workers. And in that tough time, he just wanted to do something for fun. As a carpenter, he's lost his business. And so he's just building stuff for himself and for his kids. And he builds these toys, and he gets the idea of start taking from just carpentry into building wood toys for everyone. And so this is old Kurt Christensen in 1932. So that's how old
the Great Depression too.
Exactly. And so that's why he's having to lay off all these workers, because this is in Denmark, and he builds a Lego wooden duck with on wheels that you drag it around with a rope. And that blew everything into what it is today from that small wooden duck that he built for his kids.
Dang, don't underestimate the power of that duck.
He was always a carpenter that valued quality, not just producing an item that worked or something that was just did something for a certain amount of time is kind of how things work today. It works and then it breaks and you never get it working again.
Yeah.
But he wanted something quality. And so he wanted a company name that represented that, which is Leggott, which means play well. And he wanted to combine that into one word, which is Lego. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is that unbeknownst to him is that Lego in Latin means I put together, which is one of the best and ironic miracles of all time, I believe.
It is honestly such a funny coincidence.
Because of what he put together later, many years after naming his company Lego. So in 1942, the building that he was building these toys out of and had his workers in burnt to the ground because of World War II. And so because of what was going by, an electrical fire started and burned down his building. He had to start from scratch. All of his plans, everything was burned to the ground. And so in 1946, he purchased an injection molding machine, which if you think about that in 46, injection molding, that is.
Yeah.
Like that's like the first one in Denmark.
Yeah.
Like one of the first ones.
Probably. Yeah. Injection molding, to my understanding, was like crazy revolutionary at the time.
Because you could take something you could make things super small and you could print hundreds of thousands of them rather quickly.
Yeah.
Because all you're doing is spitting in plastic and throwing out a product.
What they're trying to do with 3D printers is make that revolution happen again.
And so in 49 is the first Lego brick of piecing these together. He's always had this idea and always fascinated by this Lego brick that he got a sample of when in getting these molds. And this is all of this history is easily found in the Lego history video, which is well done and well scripted. In 1978, it was the first minifigure, which blew up way quick.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is now smaller. Everything has a scale and everything seems a lot more personable, I believe, because you have a character that represents something.
I know as a kid, and honestly, kind of still when I buy Lego sets, half the time I just buy them for the minifigures. Like, I'm really into the minifigures.
You and a lot clones. Of the community.
And that is a large basis.
Oh, yeah.
Is collecting those minifigures with their different parts or exclusivity, but also their imperfections. Oh, that is a large, large investment of you can pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a minifigure with two faces printed on it. Or
interesting. It's all like of books, these where you can buy misprints.
Yep.
For tons of money, huh?
Because Lego is so good at quality control that to get that through the line is miraculous.
Yeah.
So
just on a side note, I love the minifigure, as does everybody else. It's just thinking about my childhood. I grew up with various figures of, you know, various types. I loved collecting like the Star Wars action figures. How big were they? Like, you know, a few inches tall. Mm-hmm. And I was Power Rangers, G.I. Joes, like the whole shebang. But I feel like minifigures have always had a special place in my heart. Like they're just one. They just go so well with the Lego ecosystem. I'm sorry. We did our Apple episode last week, and that's just on my mind.
But it works,
though. It does work.
Yeah.
And just also the customizability. It's beautiful. Like the fact that you can, you know, take a clone trooper helmet and put it on a stormtrooper torso and then put it on Frodo's legs. Like,
yeah.
It's just hilarious what you can do with minifigures.
Yeah, and they're freaking durable too. Not so much the Lego Friends ones, but the normal Lego minifigures. I have minifigs that are in pretty dang good condition that I have played with as a kid from like a decade and a half ago. So,
and you were talking about the ecosystem. Something really fascinating is that ever since 1958, when they did the redesign of Lego, every single Lego piece fits in that ecosystem.
It is so impressive.
So modern sets and sets from 1958 will work the exact same way.
That's pretty cool.
And on top of that, it's just crazy, like the relationships that each brick has to each other, where like it's just things as simple as, you know, a normal brick height is exactly three, what, studs tall.
Mm-hmm.
And like on top of that, you just keep going and going, and like there are just these crazy mathematical relationships. And honestly, if you'd like to like look into this, I think one of the best places to go for a low price, a tangent, is Lego Speed Champions. These sets are $20, $25, and the engineering that goes into such a small set is so interesting, and it just displays what this means, like this ecosystem of Lego bricks that work perfectly together, and you put together these sets in ways that you would have never thought of. It's incredible.
Lego is getting a lot more inventive with how things fit together.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid that things would fit together and they'd always seem off to me. One of my first sets was a Lego X-Wing, and that was awesome. Loved that. But it still seemed off to me. Some things were like, that doesn't quite fit what an X-Wing should look like. But little by little, they're getting things down of redesigns and getting the scale just right to where it looks spot on. Enough that they've started making their botanical series.
Those things are incredible.
Yeah. Of flowers, of plants, of all of these things. And they look good. They look real.
I mean, speaking of X-Wings, a couple of years ago, I treated myself to a Lego X-Wing for my birthday, and it looks freaking amazing. It doesn't look off at all now.
So reinventing those techniques of how things together, I think, is one of the amazing things about these the master builders. That's where they got the name from, is from these engineers that spend their entire life, their entire career, building with Legos. Imagine doing that for a living.
Can you imagine
so going sick. Through an engineering degree just to play with Legos? That's a lot of pain to go through for anyone who has not taken an engineering class to do Legos.
Tell me that wasn't your dream.
Oh, it was my dream.
I can't say it was my dream, but like I certainly would do it if it were offered to me.
Right? Lego is very specific on how they make their products and how everything fits together well in this ecosystem. And they have a very, very amazing image because they're doing this for kids. And they've started to branch into adults, but their main demographic is our kids. They're kids. And so they're so delicate on how that image is maintained.
I wanted to actually bring up an official statement from LEGO that they made in a 2010 progress report. This is no longer available officially online, but you can find it in other places. This one I found, it's directly quoted by a brand called Brick Tanks, and that will become more relevant once you hear what it says. But this is talking about the guidelines that LEGO has surrounding weapons, military, and the portrayal of just like action and violence in general and fighting. So I'm just going to read it word for word. Not all of it, because there's a lot. But I'm going to read a bit of it word for word just to kind of give you just a glimpse at what this policy is and kind of the interesting ways that they move around this policy. Not like bending it, but just like the ways that they interpret it and use it. So it says, and I quote, "A large number of LEGO minifigures use weapons and are, assumedly, regularly being charged by each other's weapons as part of children's roleplay. In the LEGO group, we acknowledge that conflict in play is especially prevalent among 4 to 9-year-old boys. I know that. An inner drive and a need to experiment with their own aggressive feelings in order to learn about other people's aggressions exists in most children." That's an interesting wording, I'm just going to say.
And the fact they bring that up so blatantly is... They're obviously sensitive to how a kid's mind works. And they've done their research on this.
Yeah. Because this is all true, right? Yeah. But a lot of people don't like to talk about it.
Right.
Yeah. But just continuing it on, it says, "This, in turn, enables them to handle and recognize conflict in non-play scenarios." That's actually kind of a cool interpretation of it. "As such, the LEGO group sees conflict play as perfectly acceptable and an integral part of children's development." So going on a small... just tangent before I continue on. This is why we have stuff like LEGO Star Wars, LEGO Indiana Jones, LEGO Batman, like superheroes. We see the use of guns and of swords and of other things like that. But they do have limits.
Fun fact, LEGO Star Wars was their first IP that they worked with. They grab that.
Do you know when they started working with them?
It was the mid-80s, I believe, that they brought on LEGO Star Wars.
Yeah, and they were having a rough time during that time, and so that's why they jumped on that. Because this was just before the announcement of the prequels.
Yeah.
So
it really did like single-handedly bring LEGO from the dead and make them who they are today.
So this kind of pushes the line of what they've already stated and putting this is the line.
Yeah. Sorry. And now we'll see a bit more of what that line is and what they won't cross. So this is just a last sentence from that statement, and then they'll kind of switch into talking about what they won't do. It says, "We also acknowledge children's well-proven ability to tell play from reality. However," this is where they change, like, to the stuff that they don't do, "to make sure to maintain the right balance between play and conflict, we have adhered to a set of unwritten rules for several years. And now this is 2010 where they're writing down these rules. They formalized rules talking about conflict and weapons. "The basic aim is to avoid realistic weapons and military equipment that children may recognize from hotspots around the world and to refrain from showing violent or frightening situations when communicating about LEGO products. At the same time, the purpose is for the LEGO brand not to be associated with the issues that glorify conflicts and unethical or harmful behavior." Now, that last statement is interesting, considering that Star Wars kind of does glorify conflict, but I guess the line they cross is glorifying real conflict from present day, because they did delve into knights, which were...
I don't know if Star Wars truly glorifies conflict. It deals with it, but...
In kids' minds, at least.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but
very much true. I agree that it's definitely right there.
Yeah.
I think they deliberately put that right there on
the line. I think they did, yeah.
Because I think Star Wars and maybe even some of the newer stuff, they had like the Lone Ranger. Mm-hmm. That is where stuff was starting to cross that line. And I think, if I remember right, Lone Ranger was just a couple of years either before or after this statement.
I think so. Yeah. But I think it doesn't cross that line because this article does mention... that one of their main reasons for that, or like one of the main things that they talk about, is that they don't want the weapons that they use to be realistic, as in realistic to real life, not like oh, it's really close to what is in Star Wars, because we see that. More, they don't want a Lego guy holding a realistic AK-47 or something like that.
Right.
Or, you know, the closest they've gotten is, you know, a revolver. Like, that's probably the closest they'll get. And it's probably why they've stuck to the same basic blaster slash gun design for years upon years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And could I actually bring up an interesting little situation that this brought up a few years ago? Now, this was in 2020. And this is a CNN article that I'm quoting here, talking about a situation where Lego actually had to revoke one of their sets or discontinue it because people decided that it crossed these guidelines.
Oh, really? I haven't heard of this.
So it was, I believe, 2020, and it was a set of the V-22 Osprey. So if you don't know what the Osprey is, it is a plane that has two propellers on, well, one propeller on each end of the wings that both go in the up position and the down position, which means it can go vertically, take off, and then, you know, move around. This plane it talks about is used in both the US and the Japanese military, or at least was. I think it's been discontinued. It was never a very good aircraft.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Always very squirrely. The thing is, they decided to not cross their own guidelines in their point of view. They decided to make it a rescue skin, basically. So it's gray and orange. Kind of looks like their previous like search and rescue Coast Guard sets, because that's kind of the color scheme that they
have. Lego City.
Yeah.
Lego City.
But there's actually a German anti-war group that saw this set come out and saw problems with it, because, you know, it was a pretty big part of some major conflicts. And so the German anti-war group spoke out against Lego, saying, hey, this goes against your guidelines. They actually directly quoted from the guidelines and were like, hey, this is crossing that line. This is modern war equipment, even if it's reskinned. And Lego, while not officially addressing this, they did just pull it off the shelves pretty soon after. And so it's now a set that can be bought for about $1,000 on eBay. It's crazy.
That's kind of all discontinued Lego sets.
Yeah,
true.
But it is an interesting situation where Lego did have to go back on their own word. But it's good to see that they are willing to listen, even if maybe not officially.
Yeah. The other thing is that Lego is usually pretty silent about these things. Like they said in this statement, they follow guidelines and rules, but to themselves, they don't publish lots of statements. That's why it was very strange that they did something like this it was 2010.
Yeah.
Another thing that they've done is in the early 1990, they started putting these holes in the top of minifigure heads, which I don't know if you have any sets from between 1990 to 2012.
Oh, so many.
Probably, right? If you look at minifigures' heads, they usually have these holes in them. It kind of reminds me of like a pen cap. You know, like
Those little three triangles.
So it has that divided into three sections. Anyway, so their original intention for that is, obviously they didn't make any public statement or things like that, is that it's to prevent choking. Which makes total sense when your demographic is such a young age like this. It looks like a really big and yummy M&M.
I've actually got a fun small anecdote about this. My youngest brother, he's about 10 years younger than me. And one day, I will not put in too much detail, but we found a Lego head in his diaper.
Nice.
So he had swallowed a Lego head and it went fully through his digestive system. Fine. But who knows? Maybe the fact that it did have those holes in it could have saved him. Who knows? So it is actually a really cool change, and I appreciate it.
Yeah. The interesting thing about that is that in 2012, they started reverting back. So it was...
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So if you look at your little minifigs between... So before 1990, they had just a normal stud on the top of their head.
Yeah.
Then in between 1990 and 2012, they had the three holes. And it was kind of an indent stud, kind of the Technic looking stud that we know now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they kept that, but sealed off those three holes.
That's interesting.
And put the Lego stamp inside of it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
Okay.
So a couple of those theories of why they did that is, one of the big ones is counterfeiting. If you think about that, it's really easy to put those holes in an injection mold.
Yeah.
And really hard to get that injection mold to have the Lego symbol in there nice and neat. You'd have to have something very precisely machined for that. Yeah. So that helps with counterfeiting. Another reason is that those holes actually don't help. They're actually harmful.
Interesting.
Because if you swallow one of those, the air is going straight through.
Oh,
and you can't cough it up.
Oh, that's interesting.
To actually save you, but it's enough to keep you from coughing it up. Huh?
Yep. That's so wild. You can't breathe through it. Like Brian was saying, it's not enough that you can breathe through that. So you'll suffocate and die because you can't get it out.
Oh, that's actually crazy.
So it's wild. It's if your brother had done that and he had got it just right, it could have been very harmful.
That's actually insane.
It's kind of crazy that they were even able to like realize that, though. Shows you just how much detail these engineers get.
22 years? 1990 to 2012?
That's true. That's true. It took 22 years. But at the same time, like the fact that they've thought of that is still kind of crazy.
So they're very aware, but they don't make big statements. They are very delicate about their image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we're so fond of them, is because it's not under high scrutiny like this.
Yeah.
I didn't even hear about the CNN article. I think the only thing I knew is that there was a reskin.
Yeah. Before I researched it, that was I knew as well.
Yeah. So really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So jumping into our childhoods, we've been talking about it, dancing around it, how important to us Lego is.
I'd agree.
I think vital is the right word for it.
Let's put it this way. The Lego sets I have from my childhood are probably worth several thousands of dollars because of the whole old set thing. And I've kept them in pretty decent condition. But I am not going to sell them ever, even if it means I have to take out student loans, because it's just, for me, Legos were kind of how I learned how to storytell, and just, it was my entire childhood to some extent was playing with Legos. So for me, that's just not worth it. No amount of money to some extent is worth it.
Yeah. For me, it was deciding my career. In, I want to say it was fourth grade, my elementary school started doing Lego Mindstorms as a robotics club. And all I knew was that the teacher stood up in front of the class and said, you can sign up for this club and play with Legos for an hour and a half, and then your mom comes picks you up, and then you have to go home and eat dinner and do
your homework. Sounds like a good deal to me.
And so that's all I heard as an 8-year-old. So what did I do? Signed up for that club ASAP. I get in there, and there's Legos with freaking motors in them. That blew my 8-year-old mind.
Yeah.
I can get things to move with my Legos. And so that turns my imagination into reality. And jumping into that and learning the programming aspect of it and getting things, my robot, to be able to accomplish tasks. By the end of that club, I knew that that's what I wanted to do for a career. I knew that robotics was what I wanted to pursue. Even though that it started out with this 8-year-old kid playing with Legos, by the end, I was like, this is what I want to do forever. Mm-hmm. Not just a club after school. This is what I'm going to school for. Yeah. And that's continued. I've been doing robotics in various manners, from Lego Mindstorm for a couple of years, into Vex IQ, into Vex, into animatronics for over 14 years. So this has fueled me a lot. And it's all down to Legos.
And it's fueled me in a similar way, except just like on the other side of the coin. So just bringing up something we mentioned at the beginning of our podcast, Lego is just associated with creativity in general. And throughout my entire childhood, I was playing with Legos. At the beginning, it was, you know, just making sets or watching my big brother, who was only a few years older than me, but like just making these awesome things and me being like, I want to make that. And so I would just sit at our Lego bins for hours, like just loose Legos and just build. And I kept that up throughout, even like into high school. I'd go and build with my younger brother, just creating new and new things and finding newer ways to put the Lego pieces together to make exactly what I wanted. And so Lego has fueled my creativity to the point that that has also become what my career is going to be. Not Lego, but I have become an outdoor product design major, which has a bit more to do with functional design. But Lego is still such a big part of that because it was just such a big part of what made me love creativity and love designing. So it's just really cool to see how vital of a role it's played in so many people's childhoods.
And that's why they're jumping into their adult realm.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years ago, they just started producing these amazing exclusive, not exclusive necessarily, but these high-end sets.
No longer exclusive,
at least. No longer exclusive. And people were buying them up and buying them up.
Yeah.
They started with architecture and then ideas. And now it is for every IP, they have a big set.
Yep.
Which, what, the Venator is...
That thing is insane.
Almost $800. Which the biggest set since then, I think, was a Darth Maul bust. And that was in early 2000s.
Yeah.
And that was, in piece-wise, so small. So small. And they're getting into these more interesting techniques that would maybe just stump a kid, but an adult would be able to handle and make things a little, you know, more realistic.
Only that, but it makes me so excited when I see new ways to use the bricks. Another big thing that they've been doing recently, we mentioned earlier, is the botanical collection. I've got the Lego bonsai tree, and you cannot understand how much joy I had when I found out that the Sakura blossoms are just frogs. It came with exactly, I think, what, 98 frogs? It is the funniest thing. I have like 30 extra frogs that I didn't use. And then the rest are just on leaves. It's so funny. And then going on from that, Speed Champions and the Star Wars sets. And not only that, but like the Star Wars anniversary sets that they've got this year.
Oh, man.
Thinking about that, I think it was 1984 that it came out. Because I think this year is the 40th anniversary.
Yeah. 40th anniversary of
Star Wars.
Of Star Wars. And 25th anniversary of Lego Star Wars. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just amazing to see how much creativity has been put into these new, more adult-oriented sets. And I love it.
It's because, I think it's because we grew up with them and yep. We've held on to that passion. Yeah. I have a diorama set that I take apart and put together twice a year because it's awesome.
Tell you, all my minifigures are nice and neat and lined up and
ready for battle.
Lego battles. Oh,
yep. Just one last thing is their amazing success with the video game industry. Lego Star Wars. And then they haven't done really other, they've done other video games, but nothing compares to their Lego Star Wars video games.
Yeah, Lego Harry Potter was fine.
Lego Harry Potter, Lego Indiana Jones, and Lego Batman are probably the biggest ones. They have like Lego Ninjago, Lego Worlds, all these different ones trying to jump on. They have Lego Fortnite. Sorry, I don't know about that one. But Lego video games, they have jumped on every child IP they can.
Oh, yeah.
To get people into it. And I'm totally down for it. Yeah. Lego. Critical. And like you said, vital part of my childhood. So
really big force for creativity in the world, I think.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for listening. Enjoy those Legos. We'll see you next week.